action game. For me, as a kid, it's like, if I said peanut butter, what pops in your mind?
Jelly.
Jelly, that's funny. If I said dog?
Cat.
Cat. It's like there's pairings, aren't there? You know, I was thinking king, queen. But there's pairings. And maybe it's for your recovery this morning, that there's a perfect pairing for you. But, you know, nobody in this room generally knows what you're wrestling with in your heart or in your body. Maybe you've told somebody, but there's a perfect pairing for you. I think heaven has a perfect pairing, a perfect response that's like just that when God sees Willie, it's like, oh, here's my response. And buried in that response, Willie, is like everything for your home, everything for your heart, everything for your voice box this morning, right? Everything for the melanoma. It's like, wow, the perfect, God's got a perfect response for Willie. Peanut butter and jelly. There you go. That's Willie's word this morning, peanut butter. It's your word this morning, peanut butter and jelly. Isn't that funny? It's like, there's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he has a perfect response for you, Lori. Scott, a perfect response. It's like, God has a perfect response for you this morning. That thought is like, you know, this wasn't my word this morning, but it's like, when I think about, he knows every hair on your head, when scripture talks about knowing the birds in the air, when it talks about the grass in the field, it's like he knows everything that perfectly that Dave needs today.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Oh my gosh.
Not home.
So remember where we were? We're on this life journey here. We're waking up to identity, right? Who are we? We've been talking about what we carry. We've been talking about hosting his presence and bringing that into changing our home, changing our cities, changing the environment, changing our workplace, right? We talked about, last week, remember the Paul's large letters last week, writing in caps, as if he's like telling the Galatians, what are you doing, right? And remember what they were doing? Remember what they were doing? They were like,
agreement to law.
It's like, They had this waking up. Oh, this is who we are. Jesus came and showed them, this is your heart. This is what I think of you, son, daughter. And I took care of all that junk in your past. And then they started picking up all this other stuff. And so Paul, and we were looking at Galatians last week, mostly Galatians 4, right? And so I wanted to kind of keep on that trail. You know, it's interesting because I talk about identity and who you are all the time. If you come hear me, if on any given Sunday, here's what you're going to hear. God is crazy in love with you, right? God is ridiculously in love with you. In fact, he's not giving a thought about who you aren't. He's not thinking about your failings. He's not thinking about you dropping the ball. All he's thinking about is how crazy in love with you are. And all he wants you to know is you're my son. You're my daughter. And he is not messed up, trapped up, and worrying about, oh, I hope Shelly fixes herself. Right? That's what you're going to hear from me. So some people, I've actually been accused that I don't talk enough about sin. And I would say, actually, that's all I talk about. Because sin's just the big mask that's lying to you, this big deceiver that says, actually, you're not who God says you are. That's all sin is. We're choosing to say no to that. This is who God says I am. This is how much he loves me, and this is lying to me, right? And so I want to give you another word, a church word that actually Paul talks about a lot, and the word is repentance. Now, if you're a Galatians 4 person, and he's using the large letters to tell you, stop acting this way, stop picking up this old measure of performance, stop picking up the rule book that says, go do these things, right? If that's your thinking, then repentance sounds like, Oh God, I need to fix myself. Right, we whip ourselves. Oh gosh, I'm broke. Oh gosh, I'm failing. Oh gosh, I missed that one. And Paul's telling them, by the way, the word in the Greek word for repentance, maybe you've heard this before, metanoia. Anybody know what it means? The Greek word for repentance, metanoia. Yeah, that's it. Literally means, Angie, change your mind. It literally means you've been thinking this way. Repentance is, I'm going to think this way, all right? It's a reversal of the way you did things, right? So if I've been brought up in a system that says I need to fix myself, I need to repair all these things before God can accept me, I need to make sure I, pay all my taxes and purge and all my tithes and offerings to the church so I can get the blessing from the priest to get all this off, right? Yeah, right? Repentance is actually, God says this about me already. God's already dealt with my past. God's already, here's what he says about my sins and my failures, right? So repentance is, I'm going to change the way I think. I've been living and thinking this way. I'm going to start thinking this way, right? Here's what Hebrews 6:1 says, right? And I'll read it out of the New American. It says, therefore, he says, we're leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ. Oh, you got your magnets.
Cool.
All right. Cool. If anybody wants to play magnets, you just follow Luke. Okay, magnets Luke. And grapes. Bye, Luke.
Bye, Luke.
All right. Therefore, we're leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ,
yeah.
And we're pressing on to maturity, Hebrews 6:1. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works.
So anyway, can I read mine? So mine says, so come on, let's leave the preschool, finger painting, exercises on Christ. And get on with the grand work of art.
Come on! Say it again! Christ. Say it again!
Grow up in Christ. Oh, get on with the grand work of art.
Yeah, but the first one, give up, it's like, hey.
Preschool finger painting exercises.
These guys keep picking, it's like, you keep picking up these old things. And it's like, hey, we've grown up. We've learned something powerful about ourselves.
That's a mess.
Well, we've learned how to walk. You're still talking about crawling. We've learned how to eat. You're still talking about drinking milk, right? So remember this place when he says, why are you still acting this way? And he says, you keep rebuilding this foundation of repentance from dead works. Oh, God, I wish this would stop. Oh, God, I keep doing this. What are the dead works that he's talking about? Anybody have a clue? One of the things that Paul addresses is, look, you think you can save yourself. You think you can fix yourself. And they had a rule system. They had a religious system that they were brought up in that says that they had to. That they, by obeying these things, by practicing these things, and it was a tormenting list of rules, by the way, that could never be fully satisfied. And so that's what Paul, one of those things that Paul's talking about is, hey, we can't save ourselves. There's nothing you can do. There's not enough you can do to fix that, right? There's actually something that Paul talks about, and it's this thing inside of us that wakes up. This thing inside that says, and you might remember it the day you said yes to Jesus, where somebody told you about salvation. Somebody told you about his rescue. Somebody told you about eternal life, and something inside goes, somebody told you how loved you were. Somebody told you how much he wants to be connected to you. And this thing inside of you goes, right? That's actually the beginning of faith. That's that place where we go, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I am. And I faith is really just practicing, walking in the, this is who I am. It's that thing, that aha you had, that something in your mind that went, whoa, that's not it. This is it. And this system is like crushing me. This one feels like life to me, right? And faith is the walking in that, practicing that. Even in the midst of, I'm still messing up, but I'm choosing to like accept this is what's true about me, right? And so when Paul says, you keep laying this foundation of dead works, you're taking all those ahas and say, I know, but. We keep going back to this other, and we set aside the aha. We set aside faith that spoke to your heart, that thing that connected to your spirit, and we said, yeah, but, right? Mm-hmm. And so we end up, we were saved by faith. That's why Paul says, stop this repentance of that stuff, change your mind, and walk in faith. Mm-hmm. That's what that's the verse Dave just read with fun mm-hmm. language. Was that the fun passion, language. By the way?
That was the message.
That was the message, yeah. Right? And so he says, stop this, stop thinking this way, mm-hmm. walk in faith towards God, right? And here, let me read it out of this. I'm gonna read a verse to you in Colossians when Paul talks to the church in Colossae. Oops. I should have had my Bibles up there, but it's just quick here, I guess. And Colossians 2, Paul says this. There, in verse 6, Colossians 2, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Right? Aha. Uh-huh. Distinct aha. Uh-huh. The waking up. Established and that's who I am. Okay. What's that?
I thought of a word. Epiphany.
Go ahead. What?
Epiphany.
Yeah, it's an epiphany. It's a something inside of you, Lori, went, oh my gosh. What?
Yeah.
That just connected with me. Do you ever have epiphanies when you're reading scripture? Something you read a verse 1,000 times, and all of a sudden today you're drinking your coffee and you're like, like, I've never seen that before. To me, that's the most exciting thing in your journey. When you read that verse and it never connected with you, and today it does. By the way, that's one of my things, my wrestling points with preachers, is they try to impose their epiphanies on you. You know, I can't impose an epiphany on you. It's like, it's for you. You have a journey in your walk, and it's like, you know what our job is as a church is just to pour water on your garden.
Yeah, yeah.
It's to help you get roots out of the soil.
Yeah.
So you can grow. And by the way, you're gonna grow different than me. You're gonna get epiphanies different than me. And when you get it, it's perfect for you. It's like, oh God, thank you. I needed this today. I so needed that this morning. I needed that this week. And then you call your friend and they, oh, let me tell you this. And they go, oh, what's this? Why? It's perfect for you.
Right.
And they celebrate with you. Wow. But anyway, I love that about Holy Spirit. I love it. And that's what Paul's talking about. Walk in those things. And when you get the epiphanies, pull on it. It's like, ask the Lord, show me more about this. Tell me more about this. Practice pausing on the epiphanies. Practice your, when we say practice your faith, just rest in those moments when the Lord puts something in your lap. And sometimes you might get stuck on a verse for, it could be a long time. Trust that it's the perfect fertilizer. It's the perfect food for you right now. Anyway, that's just a, kind of like the epiphany. Look, if we don't practice that, what we end up doing is the only culture, the only religious system, even if it wasn't taught in church, is to go back to this old way of doing things, of practicing, right? What's the if we do that, what do they say is the definition of
insanity?
Doing the same thing over, expecting a different result. That's what Paul's talking about.
Right? What is that, like, insanity?
Yeah, that's what insanity is. So here's just the thing. So repentance, right? We've been thinking this way in the past. This is my former way of how I processed. This is my new way of processing. This is the epiphany way of processing. This is the faith way of processing, right? So one of the things that I would encourage you in when we talk, you see the word repentance. Usually you hear repentance, you know, it's usually got a connotation of, yeah, right?
And I suck.
I'm such a worthless person. And we think we've been sort of taught. Oh, good for you. That's crying, big tears. We've been taught, like, do that. I would like to just, and I know I've used this picture before, but can you imagine Luke, who just walked by here, that he walks by there and he's holding the magnets wrong, they're starting to fall, and I go, oh, you're so stupid. Would anybody in this room say that?
No.
You're gonna go, well done. You're gonna say, yeah, if you do, there's a mama over there that's gonna go. What are we gonna do? We're gonna celebrate growing. We're going to celebrate strength. We're going to celebrate, right? When you repent and say, I suck, you know that's the opposite of what God's saying about you?
That hurts God's heart.
It actually, just if your little boy came to you and said, I'm stupid, I'm the most stupid, you know what? A mom and a dad are going to go, you are so amazing. You think so great.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna do that at that when he's up at the bat for the first time. They're gonna do it when he brings home his first test. They're gonna, right? And you're gonna encourage him. Look, God has a voice. God has the Father's voice towards his kids. Repentance is agreeing with his voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? God doesn't say you suck, right? God, you're changing the way you think about yourself. So Paul's correcting them. Your repentance, you're lining up with the wrong voice.
Yeah.
Change the way you think. Line up with this voice, right? Yes. So repentance is almost like I'm repenting by identifying with who he says I am. That's what repentance is. Right? That doesn't mean that there's not maybe sorrow. That doesn't mean that there's not a thing inside of you that says, ugh. I mean, how many times have I gone, man, I just wish I could have those 20 years back because I did a lot of stupid in those 20 years. Now, I'm not regretting it in the sense of, oh God, you know, it's like, but I just would love to have rebuilt and rethought and re-poured into my kids. And
right.
But now, today, we're going to grow strong. Okay, anyway, that's a freebie. All right, so two things about repentance. First one, because we're going to repent to something. How about we say it that way? We're going to repent to something. We're going to repent to the Lord, not from the Lord, to him. We're facing him going, yeah, this is it. This is what I'm choosing, right? The first one, we talked about kind of at the beginning of COVID, which was practicing rest, practicing being quiet, practicing just that moment where we just say, we just enjoy how much he loves us. Practicing just saying yes to how much he loves us. Our reference verse, we were looking in John 15, when we see this word abide, and we're learning, what does it mean to abide, okay? So I wanna say this, first thing about repentance, I just have two of them. One is, let's repent. We've been living away from his love. We've been living, stepped away from the acknowledgement, the acceptance of how much he loves us, right? So let's change our mind. Let's change our practice of this, about repenting from being away from his love, okay? That's the choice we make, right? He says this in John 15, when we looked at that, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. Right. We do a lot of Christian activity.
Yeah.
We do a lot of things that they're good-hearted, they're good-natured, they're compassionate, they're loving people, but it's not empowered from remaining in that place of he loves me. I mean, it's a subtle slope here, but Paul says if we're doing those things to receive acceptance, versus doing those things from I'm so loved. I give away from this place of being so loved, right? And I think too many times we've got communities of believers that are enjoying church kind of like void of the Holy Spirit. And they're doing things. They're singing great songs and have great messages, but sometimes it's like, is Holy Spirit here? Are we resting from that place of being connected with Him? He goes on, let me read that same verse I just read to you in John 15:5 out of the Passion Translation. He says, I'm the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. Everything we think about, everything we walk in, participate in, if it's not kind of birthed from or rooted in that place of just, wow, Jesus said it this way, I'm in you and you're in me. I'm in you and you're in me. His prayer in John, by the way, was that you would see, I'm in you and you're in me. That you would look to the Father and go, oh my gosh, we're like this. We're so interconnected. And he goes on, Peter talks about it in the gospel. He says, you know, he says the only thing, transformation, real transformation, real power, divine connection only comes from that place of being walking from that interconnectedness, right? From that place of union. So Jesus said it this way before he goes to the cross, he's praying to the Father, telling the disciples, oh, this is the answer for life right here, that you practice walking with me in everything. Do nothing apart from this. He says this, that just as the Father's loved me, the Father's loved Jesus, I've loved you. Now just stay here. Remain in this place. Remain in this connection. He says it this way, remain in love, right? That's not an act, that's a relationship, okay? So number one thing we're gonna do when we think about repentance is, okay, it's like, I'm just choosing this week, repenting, that I just want to live from love. I just want to live from that union with you. I'm choosing to walk, to change my way of thinking about this week and living that way, all right? That's number one. The second one is what Paul was addressing last week when he looked at the Galatians. They started there. That was the aha, right? And that was the epiphany. That was faith. And then they tried to... They walk back into this trying to fix themselves, right?
Getting their self-help books.
Yeah. So, boy, how many self-help books are there on the market today?
A lot.
There's a lot, right? We're gonna fix ourselves. And boy, if you only knew, folks, how little God thinks about you fixing yourself. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's more like this.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I already took care of that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Right? This is the This is the going back and relaying foundations of dead works again.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a statement Graham Cook says. He says, God is not dealing with what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
He's only dealing with what's missing in your experience in Christ. What's he mean? Remember I said, so we can repent this way, oh, I suck. Or I could repent this way, which is, here's who I am.
Right.
Right? This is what you say about me. I'm changing my way. Over here, it's like, you say that, but I'm not experiencing that. You're telling me how powerful I am, but my experience is I don't feel powerful.
Right.
You're telling me I can pray for the sick and they'll be healed. My experience is I'm not seeing that.
Right? Yeah.
Right? And so God's love is to pour into your experience here, that you would see this expansion about, here's who I say you are. And it's like, and we start growing up into, this is all right. that he's saying about. Scripture says it this way. We looked at it before a few weeks ago. We're going from glory to glory. What's happening? That thing we carry, we're walking in, is like, it's getting bigger. It's getting stronger. It's getting more significant. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm debating less about what my response is in this problem because I know what my response is in this problem. When I see the person who's sick in front of me, I'm not going, well, that sucks. I know, wow, I should pray for them.
Right.
And you and I both know, when we have been in a situation where you see somebody, and maybe you've, I've experienced this, the person that's sick, and I've had this, it happens to me all the time at work, somebody tells me, I'm just hurting. And in my head I go, I should pray for them. But then I have this wrestling match inside. Well, yeah, but maybe they wouldn't appreciate, or maybe this is a long time, or maybe I should. And we debate, should I? I'm not talking about politics of your work environment and should you, are you allowed to and can. I'm just saying there's a voice inside of you that you know, that you're hearing, I have a response. It might be that person on the corner or at the gas station that you feel this, I should give them $10. Mm-hmm. And then you, between there and this amount of time, you talk yourself out of it. Because, well, no, they probably, we have a reason. Sorry, that's just a deviation, but that all came from Graham Cook's thing of, God's really interested in your experience with him.
Right.
That's what he's pouring into, right?
And then you'll do it again.
You know, it's like that thing about the old you. God, that's the reason Graham can say he's not dealing with what's wrong with you, right? Because in his mind, the old you
is gone.
The old you went to the cross with him.
Right.
That's what he says. I died, you died.
Right.
Your sin, gone. I rose, you rose. Right? It's like unbelievably clear. He dealt with it. Right? In fact, this thing of, yes, but, I've got this problem, God. God's in heaven going, what are you talking about? You're talking about this thing that I have no awareness of because I dealt with it. What are you picking up and putting back in my lap? I dealt with this. As far as the east is from the west, right? That's the separation that God, he's dealt with your past. He's dealt with your sin. And as long as you keep picking this stuff back up and put it in his lap, yeah, but you're the hamster on that wheel. Because you're trying to repair and fix things that he's already fixed, right? Anyway, I could go 100 messages on that, but 2 Corinthians says in chapter 5, for Christ's love compels us, right? Where do we remain? Jesus tells us, where do we remain? We stay in this place of his love. John 15, stay here. So it's from that place his love compels us. What's it compel us? It compels us this way because we're convinced that one died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Why do I say just stay in his love? Because that's the voice you're going to hear when we stay in his love. Oh yeah, this has been dealt with. Oh yeah, this is how we're going to live today, right? Then verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
he's a new creation.
Well done, Katie, right? He says that new creation is here. The new man's woken up, epiphany, right? The old is gone, the new is here, right? Verse 19 said, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. What's he doing? When you hear the word reconcile, all these people thinking this way, he's basically taking that weight off them and saying, think this way, right? This has been a weight, a debt you've carried. I've reconciled the bill. Boom, think this way, right? So when he says, I'm reconciling the world to himself, you can just see God taking that mindset over here, another one, over here, right? And he's not counting people's sins against them. That means you don't get the privilege of doing it to yourself or to anybody else. That has never been your assignment.
Right.
Your job is to let them, your job is to help pour water in their garden, feed their garden, pull out the lies, mm-hmm. right? And let Holy Spirit go, whoa, right? This is who you are. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4, out of the Passion, and he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Verse 23, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that has been given to you. By the way, that's why I say practice this week. What are you saying to me? He's giving revelations to you. These revelations, small as they might seem, are all geared towards pouring into that, to you, into the new, that new man. They're waking things up. They're dusting things off. They're chiseling things, stone and rubble, that's still kind of hanging around. Cleaning up, right? So he says, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. I'll say it again, because that's what Jesus said before he went to the cross. Oh, Father, that they would know I'm in you and you're in me, and they would live from this place, right? Paul tells them that you would be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Right? Look, these are my two things. We're going to repent we're saying yes to all of his love. It's like, God, I'm repenting to that. It's like, I haven't been resting in this just letting you love me. And two, I'm repenting from trying to fix myself. I'm repenting from trying to pick up the old man stuff the trying to repair myself. So Paul's the challenge you've got is, well, yes, but this is good. Well, this is good. Paul says, no, everything gets put on the table. Everything from the old man gets, that's, we consider everything, all our failings and all our good things, by the way, right, as dead apart from our union with him. Anything apart from just walking with him this way, Paul says, that's the definition of a dead work. Anything that's done outside of this relationship is what he calls a dead work. So our time, our focus, our quiet times, our worship, our alone time on our pillow is, God, show me these things. Show me who I am. Right? I've got so many things deceiving me. It's like, God, show me who I am. God is not interested in dealing with your failings. He's interested in revealing that your new nature. He's interested in revealing this is who you are in me. That folks is what repentance is, right? So we're just gonna we need to be done with wasting our time with anything else that doesn't say yes to change my mind, change my patterns, change my actions to line up with what heaven says about me. So Father, this morning, as we just kind of close our time together, we help us learn how to rest in your love. God, help us learn how to stay in your love. So this week, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would bring dreams and visions, that you would bring encouragement and songs that play on the radio, God, that just that pokes into our heart. It just kind of says, this is how much you love us, God. So we say yes to letting you love us this week. And all those things that we've done of trying to pick up and fix things, pick up and repair the old man. God, we just, today, we're just saying yes to the repenting to just our identity, who you say we are. God, we want to walk in that this week. We're done fixing ourselves. So show us our nature. Show us our identity. Show us how powerful we are in you, God. Show us how alive we are in you, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.